Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JCL Felto for The Writer's Lens. And today is going to be episode 16, simply titled, Who is Rooting for You? And it may sound like a bit of an odd question coming from a writer or from a creative standpoint, but it's certainly a question that I think is pertinent to anybody that's starting a passion project or some kind of creative endeavor, or as in my case, is always writing a book. Because honestly, when I think about it from my own experience, the question of who is rooting for me was not something that I was thinking of when I first started. It never really crossed my mind, who's rooting for me? Because when you think of writing a book, you tend to think of it as being a very solitary vocation. Okay, it's you, it's your idea, it's a laptop or a pen and paper perhaps, or as Henry David Thoreau or George R. R. Martin of today's standards would say, it's those things and a log cabin, okay? Just shutting yourself off from the world and not talking to anybody about it, right? It's just, that's what you may perceive to be the writer's world when it comes to making things happen. But this question of who is rooting for you is a really good one, again, I think, because it really starts to answer the question of what is motivating you to finish this story, or who's helping to motivate you, who's helping to keep you on target, or helping you bring an idea to fruition. And like I said before, when I first started my writing journey, I was not asking this question of myself whatsoever. I had the tunnel vision on, and I was going to do this thing as sort of a side project. I had some big expectations for my first book, but I wasn't going, man, I'm really glad that so-and-so's in my corner. I'm really glad that, you know, such and such has been asking me about how my progress is headed. I wasn't doing that. And what I found by going through that kind of in an alone sense was that if I didn't have someone over my shoulder kind of rooting for me, helping me along, I certainly was hearing the other voices or who was rooting against me, which is something I want to talk about a little bit as I continue through this episode, and hopefully I can get to before it gets too long. But essentially, who was rooting for me when I did my first book? Because I finished it, I was telling people about it, and I would always get the same two questions. What's it about, which is pretty common, and then where can I purchase it, which was something I was always hoping someone would ask me, where can I get this thing? But beyond that, there was never really this sense of, you know, thanks for being there for me. You know, thanks for, you know, editing my work. Thanks for looking at what I was doing. Thanks for giving me input on this path that I was on at that time when I wanted to scrap everything. You know, I wanted to throw everything out the window. I was done, right? There was no one that I could go to about that. There was nobody that I could go back and kind of share that memory with and say, wasn't that a trying time? Thanks for helping me out there. I really appreciate it. Because again, I was not thinking outside the box of it's me, my laptop, and my idea. It was just me versus whatever it was I was tackling, which so happened to be the Epiphanies Theories books. So when I got done with my first book, and it just seemed a bit underwhelming to me, this concept of just doing everything completely on my own, I decided to kind of do some research and figure out, would it be in my best interest, and maybe the interest of other people, to kind of have a bit of a writing community? Would it be a good idea to get invested in other people to also help them along their creative journeys? And I had to set a little bit of a guideline for myself on this, because I didn't want to just get involved with people who were kind of interested in writing books, right? Like, you don't want to just, you know, join up with somebody on this path if they're not serious about it. There had to be serious people. So I prayed about it. I thought about it. You know, I hoped, and you know, that some people would be interested. I asked a few folks that were around me that if they would be, you know, interested in doing it. There was a little bit of interest, but then there was nothing. It was like crickets chirping. It was like, oh man, this is never going to get off the ground. But then all of a sudden, I had a friend of mine ask me, hey, would you like to meet up? I have some ideas for a book. I know you're writing one, or you finished one. Would you be interested in looking at it? I said, absolutely, I will. So I did. And that turned into another person being interested. And that turned into another person, another person, another person, another person. And eventually, I had this whole writing community of about 9 to 10 guys that, as Jeff Goins would call it, became my tribe. Or rather, the folks that were along this creative path with me. And they were rooting for me, and I could there, in turn, root for them. Totally different experience from when I first got started. Completely different experience now, because, and for a lot of reasons. I mean, there were now other people that I could confide in. and I could share ideas that I thought were off the wall, or, you know, concepts that I thought would never maybe see the light of day, I could share with someone else who could then tell me, oh yeah, you know, I've had similar thoughts about that. And, you know, I kind of want to do a similar idea. What's yours? You know, not for the sake of stealing my idea, but within safe spaces, but to kind of help flesh that idea out, you know, and if it is going to be something that you want to become tangible, should you go for it? And that was something very quickly I discovered, which was great, about having this writing community and having someone, you know, quote unquote, rooting for me, because as I always do, I'm always researching the alternatives. And when I talked about the concept of who's rooting against you and like what motivates you to finish projects, and I'll come back to the writing community in a second, I found out just, again, like through research and kind of discerning myself, was that if your brain, as it were, it, one of its chief jobs, or two chief jobs, according to Donald Miller, who's the CEO of StoryBrand, as he put it, your brain is constantly regulating your calorie intake, or to use as many as, or as least amount as possible, and it's also trying to keep you alive. It's troubleshooting your situations, the settings that you're in. That's its primary function, okay, or two of them anyway. So when you think about it, this lizard part of your brain is really all about predictability. It's all about safety. It's all about security. It's all about self-preservation, okay? That's what it's interested in doing. So this concept of sort of breaking out of the shell and trying something new, being a risk taker, doing something that you're uncomfortable with, is really going against kind of this part of your cortex, if it were, that wants to just keep things at a status quo and establish a kind of equilibrium. And that can kind of be an internal war that you have with yourself, because you may have this incredible ache and urge to bring a story to fruition, but there's something inside of you that's saying, I'm not so sure, you know, or maybe it might even feel like an external thing, like, you know, that's not going to work. You know, it's you should probably stop doing that now. And that's whenever you hear someone say, I had a lot of doubts. I had a lot of fears. You know, I didn't want to look like a failure. And me, I didn't want to look like one either. But by getting around other people in a very positive sense that were willing to critique me, who were willing to give me positive insights, endorse what I was doing, or even kind of give me a gut check on like, Josh, no, that's a bad idea. That was a sense of community that could give me an added sense of, okay, this is going to keep me honest, and it's also going to help me grow as a writer. Because if the alternative is doing it completely in isolation, could lead down some paths of like, oh man, I'm never going to get this done. You know, I'm never going to be able to actually finish this idea and bring it to light. And that, again, like I said, was something that I didn't think about. You know, I wasn't thinking about this when I first started writing my books. I just was totally invested in, I'm going to do this, I'm going to surprise people with it, and people are going to be so amazed by it. Wow. Boom. You know, just, you know, slap your hands together, it's over, right? But hello, wake up, you know, wake up call, reality checking at the door is you can't do that. I mean, you shouldn't be doing that is more or less what I'm trying to say. Because, again, and I want to use Donald Miller again as an example, in another one of his articles I was reading about, that he was talking about, you know, just what motivates us. And I was fascinated by this because he was talking about how motivations tend to be very fleeting. You know, they're up and down. You know, we may be motivated by a last-minute deadline. Okay, being a former college student, I can tell you from experience, when you got that essay due on Thursday morning and you're Wednesday night and it's 11 o'clock and you're staring at a blank piece of paper, you will put on the afterburners, okay, to get that thing done, you know, before that class starts. Which, of course, if I want to talk about procrastination, that's a whole other episode just waiting to happen. But the point is that when it comes to being motivated by things, if you're motivated by your passion and you're motivated by this passion project, it's going to keep creeping up all the time. It's always going to want to come out of you, which is great, okay, that's awesome. But you can't just rely on that feeling alone. You have to be able to do things that are uncomfortable. And that was the point of what he was saying, is that don't let that be a sole motivator. You know, get in community with people and do things that are uncomfortable. And one of the things that was most uncomfortable for me at first was actually just sharing my ideas with other people. Like, oh my gosh, here's the first draft of my story. I want you guys to read it and tell me what you think. Wow. Talk about like standing naked in front of people in a metaphorical sense. Okay. Not necessarily in a literal sense. But looking at my tribe, as it were, all these guys, and saying, look, this is an idea I had. What do you guys think of this thing? And them looking at it and going, okay, this is total garbage, Josh, throw this out, start over with something else. Thanks, guys, appreciate it. But not to say that always happened, but by having that available to me was just invaluable. You couldn't put a value on it because it came back to me in a way that I now could go back to the drawing board and really reassess and go, okay, these guys are helping keeping me honest, and I'm doing the same for them, which is just as important. You know, I can't just be a self, you know, I can't just be a feeder of my own and expecting to consume. By giving back to them and investing in them also, there was a lot of just sort of mutual altruistic idea generation that allowed for those guys to make strides in their writing and for me to make strides in my writing too. And at the end of the day, you know, I think without that writing community that I had for several years, have had, you know, in bits and pieces as life changes, I don't know if I'd actually finish a lot of my works. You know, the Road to Mars book was a big, big endeavor. I mean, it's 370 some pages. I mean, it's 130,000 some odd words put together cohesively as one idea. It's a big book. Okay. I mean, it's not War and Peace, but it's a big book. But to be able to know that there were folks that could help me through those times when my feelings were deep in the valley, I wasn't standing on a mountaintop ready to tackle the next objective, that was invaluable. I mean, that was just really something that, again, I wasn't thinking about. I just didn't think about it when I first started doing my writing ventures. And now that I've written a few, you know, works, I've become more familiar with the process. Yes, I can do a lot more things on my own, but there's still this sense of having someone rooting for you, which is why writers who are traditionally published have giant, I don't want to say giant, but they have teams of editors and they have other teams of marketers who are around them and helping them with their ideas and getting them off the ground so that they're not just talking into a vacuum. They're not just themselves and their idea for 9 to 10, maybe 12 months, and that's it. Okay, they have a team around them. So I just want to encourage you guys who are listening to this to find that community, find that tribe, and find someone who is rooting for you. You have to ask yourself that question. Who is rooting for you? You know, who's going to be on your side encouraging you as you bring something to fruition? And like I said, it's great. I may have not mentioned this earlier, but it's great to have mom and dad or someone like that patting you on the back, but that can only get you so far, okay? They are your greatest cheerleaders. They are. And I love you guys. Mom and dad, I know you might be listening to this, but it is important to get other peers within your creative community to help you bring those to fruition. So anyway, guys, I want to leave you with that. Thanks for tuning in The Writer's Lens, and I'll catch you on the next episode.